morning.
Good morning.
To whomever put up the handrail, my knees thank you. Having taken 4 falls last year, I really have learned to appreciate handrails. Sarah, is it possible for you to call up that opening affirmation, the last page, the last paragraph? Because it was just perfect for what I'm about to talk about. Back one.
Back.
The opening. The opening prayer. Keep going. That's it.
No, okay. The second page. You want.
Okay. The last one more forward.
That's it.
Okay. We release all doubt. We trust that what we need is showered upon us and rises within us at the right time and place and in the correct sequence. We know divine order is always unfolding for our highest good, and all is well in our world. We're going to talk about that today. I can't believe this is absolutely perfect. And I'm about to challenge the very first sentence. We release all doubt. And now you can take it down if you'd like. I can't believe that was your opening affirmation. It's just perfect.
Let me speak from the heart.
No, not yet. We're getting there. Oh, she's biting the bit to get there. Let me tell you something. There are things in this life that are absolutely certain. And I'm going to just give you 4 examples. We have known since the time of Hippocrates that an excess in the deficiencies of the 4 humors, the humors being blood, phlegm, yellow bile, and black bile, cause all disease. We're absolutely certain of this. We are certain, since time is remembered, that the earth is flat. We are certain, since the time of Ptolemy, in ancient times, that the sun, the moon, and the stars revolve around the earth. And we know with absolute certainty since 1650, courtesy of Bishop James Usher, that the first day of creation was in fact October 23rd, 4004 BC. He figured this out using scripture. October 23rd, 4004 BC. These are facts, and we know them for certain. I can hardly say the first part of this with a sober face, because we know it isn't true. We have known for decades that centuries that bacteria and viruses and other pathogens cause disease. We know, well, at least anybody who's my age and remembers Christmas Eve of 1968, if you don't remember anything else, the spherical earth rise of Apollo 8, that the world is a sphere. It's not flat, even though it appears to be when you're just standing here. We have known since Copernicus, because they gave him a hard time for it, that the earth, the planets, the moon, the stars go around our sun. And the first day of creation is a mystery to this date. I don't think the Gregorian calendar had been created at the time of creation, much less what is a day in the mind of the Most High. And yet, some to this day brings to mind the Flat Earth Society, cling to the certainty of some of those four things that I introduced this lesson with. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. What is certainty? Well, certainty does not tolerate doubt. Okay, remember? Let loose of doubt? Mm-mm. Certainty tolerates no doubt. You can't doubt anything. It's an aversion to risk. It's choosing a more comfortable choice or something that's uncomfortable. So why choose it? Why choose to be certain about some things? Well, for one, you don't have to question anything because it's already been answered. You don't have to think about it because it's certain. It's definable. It's set. It's the status quo. It's controllable, predictable. And I don't know about you, but when I'm certain of something, I'm standing on solid ground. But what if I allow doubt? Well, then it forces me to question. And it forces me to think. I have to deal with the indefinite. I have to seek out answers and experiences. I have to explore. I have to engage with and handle people, situations, things that are out of my control, that are unpredictable, that I may not know anything about. And I allow myself to feel discomfort. Because let's face it, people in situations are always changing. Look at our children. I don't know about you, but my 37-year-old was not this big. She was teeny tiny. And anyone who has had a baby in their lives knows that at first, you can watch those changes daily. People are always changing. They're morphing. They're fluctuating. I'm no longer standing on solid ground. To this day, my 37-year-old can pull the rug right underneath me, and I have no idea where it came from. This causes fear in me. And doubt is extremely scary. I think that certainty goes a lot deeper than that. And I think it has a more profound impact on people and the world we live in. Knowingly, consciously, or unconsciously, for the last 10 or so years, I have been really grappling and trying to work with this idea of certainty. Then, well, let me give you a little of my background. I was raised old Roman Catholic. I can still say parts of a Mass in Latin because I can remember that. And I have seen 7 popes so far in my lifetime. And they have this thing called a conclave when one pope dies or they resign now, right? One of them resigned, I can't remember which one. Anyway, and all these cardinals, the higher-ups, they get together and they vote on a successor pope. And it's called a conclave. And they came up with a movie in Hollywood about this starring Stanley Tucci and, oh, what's his name? I'm that age. The guy that played Voldemort in Harry Potter. Fiennes, Ralph Fiennes. I always forget his name, I don't know why. Anyway, and Ralph Fiennes is a cardinal that is kind of in charge of the workings of this conclave. And in the movie, and I'm watching it, he makes a statement to call everyone like to the oneness of and the seriousness of what they're about to embark on. And then he said what Sarah is now about to play for us. Sarah, can you play the clip, please? It takes 2 minutes.
Let me speak from the heart for a moment. St. Paul said, be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ, to work together and to grow together. We must be tolerant, no one person or faction seeking to dominate another. And speaking to the Ephesians, who were of course a mixture of Jews and Gentiles, Paul reminds us that God's gift to the church is its variety. It is this variety, this diversity of people and views which gives our church its strength. And over the course of many years in the service of our mother church, let me tell you, there is one sin which I have come to fear above all others. Certainty. Certainty is the great enemy of unity. Certainty is the deadly enemy of tolerance. Even Christ was not certain at the end. Dio mio, perché mi hai abbandonato? He cried out in his agony at the ninth hour on the cross. Our faith is a living thing precisely because it walks hand in hand with doubt. If there was only certainty and no doubt, there would be no mystery, and therefore no need for faith. Let us pray that God will grant us a Pope who doubts, and let him grant us a Pope who sins and asks for forgiveness, and who carries on.
And that's why I asked Sarah to put up the affirmation, because I knew that that first line at the end, let us release all doubt, I was going to take issue with this morning. When I saw that, it struck me that that's what I wanted to talk to various congregations about when I was invited. And that's the reason that I chose this particular lesson for today. We don't talk about sin in unity. Not much. And when we do, we talk about it as error, missing the mark. And I wholeheartedly embrace that approach advanced by our co-founders, Myrtle and Charles Fillmore. I don't want to advocate shame and unending guilt on people, especially our tiny ones. Growing up in a world that used shame and guilt a lot to get us to conform, it wasn't enlightening and it wasn't supportive. But it did promote and preserved the status quo. It did not promote thinking and creativity. But I'm beginning to rethink the concept of sin. Where error is usually unintentional, or it's intentional with an innocent purpose, like at the beginning, about the four things that I talked about, the flat earth and that. That was intentional untruth. But it wasn't. It had an innocent purpose to it. It was to get you all to go, Tam's really lost it this time, okay? And get you into the lesson, but deep down you all knew I did not mean it. But sin, I really have begun to think this through and just trying to get a conversation going about it, is darker and it's insidious. And I don't think I'm alone in this. I think that the way shower, Jesus, spoke about this on several occasions using parables. The first one that I chose was Matthew 13, verse 22, the parable of the sower. Now, I'm not going to get into it, but, you know, the farmer's out there and he's throwing the seeds, and some lands on the path, and some lands on the rock, some lands on the thorns, and some lands on the good soil, okay? And he goes through them all. The only one I want to talk about today is the thorns, because what happens to the thorns? The seed is the word of God, truth. And it gets sown among the thorns. And the thorns are people. It's a metaphor. It's metaphysically people. They hear the truth and then use it selfishly to get the worldly things. Greed, power, wealth, whatever. And the thorns, what do? In the parable, they choke out the truth that grows among them. That's the intent of that consciousness. All of these things that Jesus talked about in the parable of the sower are about different levels of consciousness. And he really doesn't like the thorns. Because in that type of consciousness, in order to choke out truth, the thorns have to say, we know the truth, and we are right. Check out the Fillmore Study Bible. Because all of this is at the heart of what Unity also teaches. When this consciousness promotes spiritual certainty, then it says, we are certain what God is, how God acts, why God acts the way it does, who God supports, and who God chooses to favor. We are certain of what truth is, and we are right. That is not faith. That is fear. That's fear of loss. Loss of the known. Loss of the certainty. I agree. The opposite of certainty is not doubt. The opposite of certainty is faith. And we can see it again in John 20. Verses 24 to 29, where after the resurrection, the disciples are up in the room, except for Thomas. And the way that I was taught, he was called Doubting Thomas. Thomas was the only one that wasn't there when Jesus appears to the disciples after the resurrection. And he's like, yeah. Okay, I want to see it with my own eyes, right? I want to see him. I wasn't here with you guys. And Jesus comes back. Does he yell at Thomas? No. He says, Thomas, here I am. Come on, come up. Feel the wounds. I'm here. Now, what does Thomas represent in Unity? The intellect, understanding, right? We have an intellect for a reason. Jesus is not admonishing Thomas for using his intellect. We're supposed to engage with it because it's a gift. It's a grace from God. I don't think, in my view of this particular story, that Jesus is trying to shame Thomas for using a gift given to us. It is one of our 12 powers in unity. What he does is that he encourages Thomas to work through it. Okay, you want to see me, here I am. You want to touch it, feel me, I'm here. But people look at, blessed are those who have seen me and believe, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And I was taught that that was a criticism. I don't see doubt as criticism. I see it as another way to truth. By using a different gift. The gift of understanding. The gift of intellect. After Jesus patiently works with him and says that final line, what I think he's saying to Thomas and the rest of the world is, blessed those who have not seen, blessed are those that trust Spirit, even though I don't fully understand yet. We have different paths to understanding. And I think that Jesus was using Thomas to illustrate that point. The movie clip even acknowledges that Jesus, the way shower, at the end, he's hanging on the cross. And if anybody has done any research into crucifixion, it's not a really pleasant way to die. Even Jesus had doubts. Why have you forsaken me? Even though he knew, as we do, God is always connected to us. God never disconnects. We disconnect. Knowingly or unknowingly. It's part of being human. And Jesus, okay, he was God. Okay, I accept that. But he was also fully human. He suffered just like the others that had been crucified with, before, and after him to this day. My brothers and sisters in unity, the only certainty I know is what was in the rest of that paragraph at the end of the affirmation. That even when I'm afraid, or I'm confronted by a situation where the outcome is unknown, I know, I believe, I have faith that whatever comes up in my life, rocky or smooth, neat or messy, everything is working for my highest and best outcome. I may not understand it at the time, but all is happening in divine order so that in the end, not only am I benefited greatly, but since we are all part of the oneness together, all of us benefit greatly. The certainty that I am seeing these days are the thorns of a consciousness intentionally seeking to choke out truth. And we all know what Jesus thought of the Pharisees. He didn't really like them too much. Beware of them, he said more than once. Beware of the Pharisees. My friends, do not be afraid of doubt. Embrace the faith of unity and of the way shore. Because when we embrace doubt, we will act to overcome the sin of certainty and embrace the mystery of faith. And truth will continuously unfold for us. And we will know the limitlessness of the ever-present good, which we know is God. I want to take you now into a time of reflection. By doing so, there's not going to be a silent meditation this morning, but I would like for everyone to get in, relaxed, and go within and embrace the Christ that's there. Our co-founder, Charles Fillmore, modified a little bit the Lord's Prayer. With your indulgence, I've modified the prayer of St. Francis, and that's what I would like us to reflect on this morning. So if you all would take, just get in a comfortable position and take a very deep cleansing breath in and release. And make that, as prayer chaplains say, that 18-inch journey from our head to our heart, and get centered in the Christ. And reflect with me on the prayer of Francis of Assisi. May I be an instrument of peace and truth. Where there is hatred, let me be love. Where there is injury, let me be forgiveness. Where there is spiritual certainty, let me be faith and humility. Where there is despair, let me be hope. Where there is darkness, let me be that illuminating light. And where there is sadness, let me be joy. Forever grant that I may not wish to be consoled as to console, that I may not wish to be understood as to understand, or to be loved as to love. For it is in me giving that all of us receive, that it is in me forgiving that we are all forgiven, that it is in me following the way that we break open the power of love. And when I am love incarnate, there is peace. Amen. And thank you for the privilege of speaking with you today.